Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
I'm a fat boy. I love barbecue. Cheese steaks aren't really good, though, so don't quote me on that.
Honestly, I think the best Philly cheesesteaks are not in Philly, to be honest.
I grew up on In-N-Out, but I've had a few Five Guys. And the Shake Shack, you know, I don't turn any of them away.
I mean, Jason Kelce is the epitome of a leader. I mean, let me clear these notes. I've got him as my screensaver, as Fat Batman. Yeah, that's how much of an inspiration he is to me, man.
Do I just dig my hand in? Oh, my gosh.
Let's go high five. Yeah!
You can't tell my mom anything right now. She's an absolute superstar. And I just appreciate everybody kind of jumping on train and letting her have as much fun as she's been having, because it's been cool to see her in that light.
Mom probably likes Travis more. She keeps trying to hedge her bet and say she likes me now because I have kids. And that's a good way I've kind of leveled the playing field with Trav. But the baby always gets the love from Mom.
Andy Reid has the best impression of my voice. He doesn't do it in front of a lot of people, thankfully. But Andy Reid for sure has the best impression of my voice.
Yeah, you got to let the voice crack just a little bit. But he's got a one, you know, that's a unique voice he has. I know what the next question is. Am I going to do it? I'm not doing it. But, you know, I appreciate you. I'm good, but not that good.
You got it. You got to have it, like, right here. It's not, most people think it's right here. It's, like, in the pits. You got to love this. 180.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
It is noon on the East Coast on Peacock, 10 o'clock local time in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. It is the happy hour. He's Jay Croucher. I'm Matthew Berry. We are live from Phoenix at the Super Bowl, and those were the sounds of opening night, NFL's opening night last night. Everyone doing an Patrick Mahomes impression. Do you have an Patrick Mahomes impression, Jay Croucher?
I don't have a Patrick Mahomes impression. I can do Michael Caine. That's where I leave it, though. Good to hear an Australian accent, though, in there. Jordan Mailata.
Right.
Can do an Australian accent. Yeah. Can do a great Jordan Mailata impression. I'm doing it right now.
What's your Michael Caine?
Do you want me to do my Michael Caine?
Let's do Michael Caine. And is this late Michael Caine, like Batman, or is this like early Michael Caine?
This is like
Blame It on Rio, like I'll do any movie that comes along, Michael Caine.
The Italian Job, really early Michael Caine. So Michael Caine, it's very, you're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off. She
Not
was
bad.
Only 16 years old.
You know what? Not bad. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Hearing in my ear, the control room likes it as well.
A
lot of people say, why is Jay on the show? He doesn't really seem to have a lot of talent. I think you just proved them wrong. There you go.
Big show today, Matthew. We got Mark Andrews. We got Danny Carter, Lawrence Jackson, three of the best tight ends in the NFL.
Exactly. Fantasy royalty today. A day of fantasy royalty. Mark Andrews, Danny Carter, and Lawrence Jackson will all join us, but not simultaneously. We had a team dinner last night.
Yeah,
that was fun.
Yeah, that was fun. We're getting... I know producer Ryan was really obsessed with us talking about Phoenix yesterday. We didn't have as much to talk about. I feel we've got a bit more to talk about now. Starting to get in the Phoenix flow. Radio Row starting to really fill up. It's going to get really busy by the end of the week.
Yeah.
Still feeling really good about the air and the humidity in Phoenix that continues to grow on me.
And I when I did my Ithaca College podcast yesterday, I crushed.
Yeah.
Crushed.
Destroyed it.
Crushed it.
Yeah.
And what was so terrible is that, not terrible, but like these poor kids, right? I mean, so like they're here from, they're in college, right? You know, so you want to encourage kids to do well and everything like that. So they have to share a table with another university. And at the universe, at this table, there was this I assume another college student, this woman. And so they're sitting there and they're trying, and they're all nervous. They're all in like suits and they're like so excited to have me or whatever. And they're all nervous. And so they're sitting there trying to do this interview with me. But literally right next to them is this woman from another university that's just like on her phone, like, blah, blah, blah. Hey, how you doing? Yeah, yeah, I just got here. Oh, I don't know. What party do you want to go tonight? Like, whatever. Like, I'm just like, these poor guys are trying to conduct an interview. And she's literally like, you know,
yeah,
no care in the world.
I think your college girl impression beats my Michael Caine, by the way. That was tough enough.
Right. Exactly. I saw it on Instagram.
Yeah.
I got a TikTok.
I'm sure. All right. People talk like that. Ithaca, yeah, exactly. Ithaca is exactly catching a lot of strays.
That's exactly how young women in college talk today.
Yeah.
100%. So we very accurate.
We got Ithaca, Mike McCarthy,
by the way,
Dak Prescott.
If you heard this girl yesterday, yeah. It's actually a fairly accurate impression of her. All right. What do you want to get this show on the road?
Do you want to get on the road? We're talking about Patrick Mahomes and his ankle.
Okay.
So Patrick Mahomes, he said he's definitely.
God forbid we go 10 minutes without talking about Patrick Mahomes' ankle.
Yeah. Says he's definitely feeling better than last week, and here is Patrick Mahomes talking about that ankle.
I'm just going to make it real quick. I'll play through all injuries that the trainers will let me play through. I'll play through. So that's the list. As long as the trainers okay me to get out there, I'm going to play through it.
Yeah, so Patrick Mahomes is going to play in the Super Bowl, yeah. I suspect, and I think he's going to be okay.
So here's my question for you. Do you think, if you're Chad Henne,
yeah,
are you happy or sad about this? And let me break this down very quickly. So on the one hand, you're like, everyone wants to play in a Super Bowl, and here would be an opportunity to play in a Super Bowl. Not that I'm saying that I think Chad Henne is wishing ill on his teammate, but if Patrick Mahomes couldn't go through no fault of Chad Henne's, Chad Henne would be starting a Super Bowl this week. So on the one hand, you're like, oh, this would have been an amazing opportunity for him in his career. On the other hand, you're sort of like, you know, I got a pretty good gig right now. You know, like, I like everyone likes me. I'm the backup. I got a shot at winning a Super Bowl ring here with Patrick at quarterback. No pressure on me. I came in for one drive against Jacksonville. I got us a touchdown. I threw a touchdown pass to Kelsey. Like, I'm good. Like, I'm basically plus money right now. I got house money here. Why go and lose a Super Bowl?
I think it's the other way where he's playing with house money, and that if he comes into the game, say Mahomes goes down on the first series, then if Chad Henne comes in, if he loses the game, no one will think less of Chad Henne. Like, everyone just expects them to lose the game, and everyone will just remember, oh, Mahomes got hurt and they lost. If he comes in and he wins the game, then all of a sudden he's Nick Foles, who's a legend in Philadelphia for all of time. Chad Henne becomes an NFL legend if he wins the Super Bowl in place of Patrick Mahomes.
So is that your take, is that he's rooting for Patrick Mahomes to go down in the first series so he can have that opportunity? Is that your official take?
I think he's rooting for him to go down deep into the second quarter when they've got a 3-touchdown lead, and then Henne kind of steers them to victory in the second half. I think he kind of wants the lead first. I always wonder about that. Like, if I was Tony Pollard, I'd be cheering for Zeke to get 3 yards per carry, and I'd just be cheering for my own success at that point.
It's a tough one,
right? He's a bigger man than me.
Yeah, it's a tough one. So in essence, just to play this forward a little bit, in essence, when you come on the air with me, you're like, well, I hope Barry's analysis is terrible. I hope, like, he says something inappropriate on air, gets fired, because you're a heartbeat away from, like, this chair, from it being fantasy football happy hour with Jay Croucher.
That's true.
For
right
your
there.
Name. So, right.
I cheer for your failure every
now
day.
Now I understand. This entire season has just made sense to me. Entire season. Okay.
Would you?
I know how you work.
Are you the type of person where you'd rather, you know, just win the game or score 60 points in a loss playing basketball? So I'm the 60 points in a loss.
Yeah. See, I'm the win the game.
I mean, no, you're not. Absolutely not. That's a lie.
I believe it or not.
Let's say it with a straight
No one believes it. I swear to God, I am. I would rather it. Here's the truth. Producer Damien has got a thumbs down over there on the other side. No one believes me. Here's what I will tell you. Look.
You're giggling.
I am, because I'll tell you why. Two reasons. It depends on the activity. Meaning that, like, if it's what I do for a living, like this, like, you know, would I want to just be like the eighth banana on a show that wins an Emmy, or would I want to be the star of a show that doesn't, you know, like you'd rather be the star, but on the, like on a basketball game, like I'm okay at basketball, but like I ain't Kobe. You know what I mean? Like I'm happy to be Steve Kerr. Are yeah. you kidding me? Like, yeah, you know, like, mixing teams here, but you know, like I'm happy to be, you know, like I don't need to be Jordan. I'm happy to be Steve Kerr. I guess yeah. I'm happy to be Paxson.
It's like whether you're happy being like Paul Giamatti or you want to really go for the kind of home run swing and be kind of Daniel Day-Lewis and potentially not win the Oscar. But yeah, I'm all the Kobe mode. All scoring 60.
That's fair enough.
Let's talk about Legarius Sneed. He's cleared concussion protocol, so he looks like he is set to play. That's big news because, I mean, I'm not sure if it's underreported, but under-discussed perhaps with the Bengals, where we focus on the personal foul at the end of the game. We focus on Mahomes on the ankle. I think the real thing out of that game was that the Chiefs lost five players during the game, and it looks like they're going to get all of them back outside of Mecole Hardman. And we're looking at now a situation where pretty much everyone in this game is healthy.
Yeah, and, you know, Sneed is so important to that secondary and everything that he does. You know, we talk a lot about how no team in the NFL gave up more touchdown passes than the Kansas City Chiefs during the regular season. But the fact is that over the course of the playoffs and in the last couple of games, they've actually been pretty good. They played better, right? I mean, they held Trevor Lawrence to just one touchdown pass, you know? And, you know, I thought they played pretty good against Joe Burrow, all things considered, right? And so they made Joe Burrow look mortal. So I think this is important for the Kansas City Chiefs trying to slow down Jalen Hurts in the offense.
Yeah, and the thing about the Kansas City defense, I think there might still be some perception that it's, you know, it's Patrick Mahomes carrying the team and the defense is, you know, the 23rd ranked defense back when it was when Mahomes was first reaching AFC title games. This defense is fine. It's like the 15th, 16th yep. best defense in the NFL, about the same level against the pass as against the rush. And they've got guys Chris Jones.
I was just going to say, exactly. I was just going to say the line has some talent.
Yep,
the line has some talent. But that's going to be, honestly, and you always say this is such like a football cliche, but it's true. Like, this is a game that I think will get somewhat won in the trenches. Because, the getting pressure on each of those quarterbacks is going to be important, especially given the you know, potentially the limited ankle with Mahomes, potentially Hurts not 100% either. Both teams have really good defensive lines, and so it's just, you know, we expect the Eagles' offensive line to play better. Lane Johnson being back is huge for them. But can the Chiefs' offensive line, you know, hold up?
Yeah. There's actually a prop on BetMGM about Radio Row about how many times it will be said today that the game is won in the trenches. The over-under was set at 517.5, and we've just contributed to the over there. So that's good news.
That is fantastic. Yeah, I would bet the over as well.
Kadarius Toney.
But do you not agree? Like, I admit, I think it
will be won in the trenches.
It is. I mean, it's about just some. Listen, here's the thing about cliches. Cliches are cliches because they're true.
Yes.
Like, they've been said so many times over the years. Because they're true, and that's why they become cliches.
Yes. With the trenches, I think the concern would be that, is it going to be a game like Kansas City-Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl where the defensive line dominance of Tampa Bay just completely wrecked the game to the point where the game just wasn't viable anymore because Mahomes had no time to throw? The Eagles' pass rush is historic in terms of their sack rate and all of that, but I think the KC offensive line is good enough that it's going to keep Mahomes upright. Mahomes is amazing at avoiding sacks, at working in the pocket, avoiding pressure, so I think that they'll be okay on that front, and I do think that Chris Jones will have a moment or two. And that's the thing with the KC defense, is that the offense is so good, is that you just need a random sack. You just need a random right. interception, and that's enough for Mahomes because the passing offense is so good.
Because the Chiefs' offense is so efficient that, right, if you win one or two possessions, you get off the field and you give the Chiefs an extra possession, then I think ultimately that ends up making the difference here. And the other piece that I think, again, that people aren't really talking about that much is, you know, Andy Reid's got 2 weeks for this game. Yeah, I mean, and all the Andy Reid off the bye stuff is really real. I mean, you know, I mean, he's 10-1 in the play, 10-1. I believe he's 10-1 in the playoffs with Mahomes in his career, including playoffs off of a bye. And so he will. Andy's going to know this. They're going to scheme up a bunch of different things in terms of like quick outs to Kadarius Toney or to Jerick McKinnon, or Pacheco's all of a sudden a pass catcher, and you'll see a lot of motion from multiple tight ends. Like, they're going to do a lot of different things here to try to counteract that pass rush of the Eagles.
Yep. Speaking of Kadarius Toney, Tyler Dragon, great name, from USA Today, said that Kadarius told Kadarius Toney told me he's definitely playing on Sunday. He suffered an ankle injury in the AFC Championship game. Obviously, Kadarius Toney does have some Samuel L. Jackson in Unbreakable, Mr. Glass kind of vibes, but if he is healthy, then he's a game changer.
So for those of you just listening to the audio, we've got a screenshot up of the tweet from Tyler Dragon, and his Twitter handle is at the Tyler Dragon. I don't know Tyler, but if your name is Tyler Dragon,
yeah.
Do you really need the V?
Like as to
all the other Tyler Dragons?
Yeah. As opposed to the indefinite article of a Tyler
right.
Dragon?
Right, yeah. Right, exactly.
Yeah, I think
feels like he could have just gone with Tyler Dragon.
Yeah, some Tyler
yeah,
Dragon.
Yeah, one yeah. of the...
It's interesting. Yeah, we should right. give him some...
I don't know. If anyone knows Tyler Dragon, ask him about that. I'm very curious about the choice of the...
Please, for the love of God, tell the Tyler Dragon about his error there. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who we haven't talked about much lately, he's a hot topic earlier in the season. He's been activated from IR. Mecole Hardman goes on IR. Do you expect we're going to see any CEH, any game-winning
plays? Maybe he's active for a snap, but, I mean, the fact of the matter is like week five. Week five is the last time he had double-digit touches in a game, right? I mean, like, the last two games he was active, you think about weeks 10 and 11. Like, he was actually active for those games. In those games, he played 9 total snaps combined. They seem like they're rolling pretty good with Pacheco and McKinnon, and my guess is he'll be active just for a warm body, just in case they suffer more injuries or some setbacks and they need somebody who knows the offense and they can just sort of get in there. But I can't imagine him having a significant role in this offense. And I also don't think that his being activated for the IR makes me feel like, hey, you know what we should do is we should take the unders on Pacheco or McKinnon, anything like that.
Yep. I think this is going to be the Isaiah Pacheco show at this point. I just think that what he showed in the receiving game as well, he showed an element that we haven't really seen as much. So I think that, and we'll get into all the props as the week goes on, but I think that Pacheco is going to be used in the passing game more than one would expect.
I would think so. The weird part is, by the way, just off of that really quickly, is that I did Kansas City Radio yesterday, and I talked to them, and I talked to them about that, and they just said they trust McKinnon so much more in blocking.
Yeah.
And so, like, weirdly, they need Pacheco as the pass catcher because they need to have McKinnon back there blocking to help protect Mahomes' ankle because they trust him more in that role. So they're like, sorry, McKinnon, but your role is now the unsexy one.
Yep, that makes sense. All right, well, I'm looking at an incredibly tall human being who looks suspiciously like Mark Andrews. So that's our cue to go to break. And when we come back, we will talk to the Baltimore Ravens superstar tight end, Mark Andrews.
The definitive Mark Andrews interview.
The definitive Mark Andrews interview is coming up.
When we come back.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Obviously, I hope that we get my guy Lamar Jackson back, you know, because he's a Raven for life. There's one thing I know that he wants to be a Raven, and I know the Ravens organization want him. And so he's our quarterback, and, I'm hopeful that they're going to be able to get that deal done, and he's going to be my quarterback.
All right, fantasy football royalty Mark Andrews joins us now on behalf of his go-to protein shake, Rockin' Protein. Rockin' Protein made with real milk and up to 30 grams of protein. Find Rockin' Protein nationwide in your local grocery and convenience stores. randomly, this is complete coincidence, you're wearing a Rockin' Protein shirt on air. Luckily here. Let's start there. Like, why did you partner with Rockin' Protein?
It's honestly an incredible partner. Well, thank you guys for having me on, first of all. But
yeah, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, just Rockin' Protein is my go-to protein drink, and it's for me, it's an incredible partnership. One, because they're an incredible brand and company, but it's also locally sourced. So this is something I've been drinking since high school, and if you know the taste of protein drinks, you know that chalky taste.
Yeah,
this tastes amazing. It's smooth. It's always good, and it's high source protein, and it gets me where I need to be.
So I just figured it out, Jay. I was like, why does Mark Andrews look so different than I am?
Yeah.
He is drinking Rockin' Protein since he was a kid, and I, you know, was drinking, like, carbonated soda.
I thought you were a big protein shake guy. I thought you were in the gym.
Clearly I am not.
We're going to have to get you on one of these.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe I, too, can become an all-protein end. Hey, listen, let's get this out of the way real quickly. The opening clip we heard you say on the show was, Lamar Jackson's going to be a Raven for life. He's my quarterback. Mm-hmm. So much talk about Lamar. Is he coming back? What's the situation? Have you texted with him? Do you want to take back your feelings about him being a Raven for life? Where are you feeling about the confidence that you're catching passes from Lamar next year?
Yeah, you know, if there's one thing I know is that Lamar has an incredible amount of respect for the Ravens organization, and I know they feel the same way about him. I know the he would love to play for the Ravens. Yeah, that's something that he really wants to be able to do is be a Raven, and he is a Raven. So I think that I hold true to that statement that he's going to be back with us. But both sides just need to get the deal done. That's the business part about this.
Yep.
I suspect that's the first and only time today anyone will ask you about Lamar Jackson. So I appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
So we are a fantasy football show. Do you play fantasy football yourself, Mark?
I do not. No. I have great things.
Right.
It's incredible.
How often does it come up in your life when fans come up and approach you? How often are they saying, like, hey, you're on my fantasy team?
Yeah.
Or, hey, I love, I'm a huge Ravens fan.
Yeah. I mean, the name recognition from what fantasy football is has been incredible, of how many people love to play. Obviously there's a ton of good that comes with it. There's a lot of good people. Hopefully you have a good season and, people come up to you and praise you. But, people are competitive. They have fun with it, which I think is awesome.
2 years ago, you were the number one tight end in fantasy. You were also one of the elite tight ends in fantasy this year. How would you take me through your season this year in terms of how you felt your specific play? I know there was a tough year for the Ravens with a lot of injuries, not only at the quarterback position, but around the offense.
Yeah, I think you look at the start of the year, within the first four or five games, it was like 400 yards and a couple touchdowns. And, got to a point where it was like midseason and, things weren't just clicking, all that well. And so it got a little slower, but I think you look towards the back half, it started to pick up a little bit, started to make a little more catches and make some plays. But, it was good. I think just the way the season went, it was a little different.
Yep. Now, I want to ask you about Isaiah Likely, who certainly in the fantasy world is a really hot name. We see the pass-catching talent, incredible receiving talent. Yeah. What did you see from Isaiah this season? What do you expect going forward?
I love his game. Yeah, Isaiah's got a really good feel to how he finds holes, but he's an incredibly good man beater as well. So he's a guy that's only going to continue to get better. He's going to be an incredible player, and he's going to be an incredible player for a long time. I have a lot of respect for him.
Do you guys see there's going to be an offensive coordinator change? Obviously, Greg Roman no longer with the Ravens. Who are you hoping to see? Is there a change to the offense that you're hoping to see in terms of whoever comes in next?
No, I've got a lot of love and respect for Coach Giro and how much he's helped me and this offense, throughout the years. But I don't know, direction or who they're going to go after. But I think I'm excited. I'm excited to see, where that goes. And I know that, Coach Harbaugh and all the coaches and the front office are doing their due diligence to put, this team and our players in the right position.
Yep. Yeah, I think no matter who it is, they're coming in and, like, you're going to be a featured part of the offense.
Yeah.
No matter who comes in.
I think Mark Andrews is going to get his targets.
Hint to anyone that's interviewing for the job, if you come in and say, like, hey, what I really think we do is we need to make Andrews just a blocking tight end,
you're
probably not getting the gig.
Yeah, I'd say so. So there's a Super Bowl on Sunday, Mark. Not sure if you're aware, but
sure.
So the tight ends have gotten a lot of attention, two of the best tight ends in the game, and Travis Kelce and Dallas Goedert. Mm-hmm. In particular with Kelce, what is it that makes Kelce so special as a player?
I just think he's got an incredible feel for the game. The way that his mind works, you know, the way that he can feel defense, he can feel the zone and find that, and then he's got Patrick Mahomes that they got incredible chemistry. So I think that little tandem is awesome. He's also an incredibly good man beater. His routes are awesome. So if they're playing zone all game, they're like, well, screw it, we're just going to play him in man. He finds a way to win, and he makes big time plays in big time moments. And I think that's what you got to love about him the most, is that he's just continually all game getting after over and over and over and over and making big time plays, which is it's just incredible to watch him. And again, like Dallas Goedert, I got a lot of respect for Dallas and his game, and he's a guy that's continued to get better and better, and is at one of the top tight ends.
Yep.
Who wins the game on Sunday? And two-part question, who wins the game on Sunday and who are you rooting for?
That's a great question. I don't know. I think both these teams have fought real hard, and they're going to be tough teams to beat. But Orlando Brown is one of my best friends, and so I'm going to be rooting for the Chiefs.
All right, fair enough. Keep it in the AFC, if nothing else. Like, right. at least keep the title in the AFC. Mark, talk to me a little bit about tight end university. And, you know, I know you attend it. What goes in at tight end university? What happens there? Like, if I drink rock and protein, could I get an invite to tight end university?
Oh, you'll be there. You'll be there for sure. No, yeah, it's just a bunch of tight ends, man, having fun. You know, you look at the guys that are there. It's everybody's in the same position. Everybody's having fun. It's just a way for us to get around each other and hang out and pick each other's brains. I think it's an incredible opportunity for us guys just to be tight ends, you know?
Yeah. It does seem to be a really close-knit group, you know, led by guys like yourself and Travis Kelce and George Kittle. Is it something where you're specifically like watching them and they're watching you each week pick up new things in each other's games?
Yeah, for sure. You know, that when you're out in the field and you're able to see how a guy moves, how a guy, you know, maybe release off the line or uses his hands, it's always good to pick up on the little things. I think everybody can learn something by watching the great ones like the guys that you just mentioned, because there is so much to learn. It's always room to get better, and who not from those guys you just mentioned. Yeah.
Can we get Isaiah Likely an invite to Titan University as somebody who has him on a bunch of dynasty teams and would really like him to?
Yeah, he'll be going.
I'm hoping the new offense coordinator does a lot of two tight end sets as well, and both you guys are out there a lot next year.
Sir.
Just saying. Help me out, though, as somebody who's obviously at practice and everything and sees the young players, for the people that play fantasy football, give me a sleeper on the Ravens next year. Give me a player that should be on a Raider. Everyone knows you, obviously. Everyone knows Lamar. We just mentioned Isaiah Likely. Give me somebody that may be a little bit under the radar that you think has the next step in him.
I think Charlie Kohler. I think just with opportunity, and he's a guy that I think will elevate his game. I think it was the one game that he played in this year. He played very well. So I think that he's going to be able to do his thing and kind of shock a lot of people.
Oh, okay. I like that. Yeah, that's a good name.
Yeah. Last one for you, Mark. This was your third Pro Bowl that you played on the weekend. What did you think of the new format changes, and what do you think about going forward?
I had a great time. I was able to play dodgeball, all the skill challenges. We had a good time, but the dodgeball game was awesome. And then we had the flag football game, which was a great change to the whole Pro Bowl setting. We don't have to, you know, put on pads, worried about getting hit, worried about getting hurt, really. It was just guys having fun, flying around, playing a little flag football. And I think that lighthearted, you know, game was, like, I think it was good. Good change.
All right, good. So you're rooting for the Chiefs. You're not going to give us a prediction?
You want, like, a score prediction?
you don't need to do a score prediction, but the Chiefs are winning. The Eagles are winning. You know, you've studied both these teams.
Yeah.
You're a football mind.
I think the Chiefs are winning. I think that, you know, obviously the Eagles have a great defense, and that's going to be a tough front to go against. But the Kansas City's got a great O-line. So I think it's going to be a tough one. I think it's going to be a very, very close game. But I think at the end, you look at Patrick Mahomes and the type of player that he is, how fiery he is, how competitive he is. He's going to want this game.
There is a little bit to just the simplicity of, like, guy who's been there before versus guy who hasn't. And all due respect to Coach Sirianni, Jalen Hurts, you know, their first time, whereas, you know, Andy and Patrick are back in the Super Bowl just a few years after they won it. Well, listen, Mark, we can't tell you how much we thank you and Rockin' Protein for making you available to us. You are fantasy football royalty. One of the elite tight ends. We wish you tremendous success, a huge year yet next year. Stay healthy, my friend.
Yes, sir.
And let's hope you get Lamar back.
Thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate y'all.
Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. We will be back right after this with more fantasy football royalty, Denny Carter and Lawrence Jackson.
Nice.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Folks, this is Danny Carter from NBC Sports Edge. I'm here at the Super Bowl in Arizona with my colleague Lawrence Jackson. And today, we were lucky enough to stumble across two players, one from the Chiefs, one from the Eagles. We got to talk to them, interview them about the keys to winning Super Bowl 57.
First off, man, on offense, we must protect Patrick Mahomes, man. We know that Eagles rush defense is coming, and the two people that know that is Brock Purdy and Josh Johnson. Our receiver's a little banged up too now, so somebody gonna have to step up on that end.
Just like the Bucs did in the Super Bowl against Mahomes, all you have to do really is make Patrick Mahomes play badly. It's that simple. You also have to cover Travis Kelce, which, of course, the Jacksonville Jaguars didn't do. And, of course, the Bengals really didn't do. So that's our plan. We're going to cover Travis Kelce. It is a groundbreaking defensive maneuver that I think will catch on after we do it.
All right, we're back on the Fantasy Football Happy Hour. Yeah. We welcome in Denny Carter, Lawrence Jackson from Roto World. Phenomenal production values on that video, guys.
I like really the fact that, like, here's what I like. I like the fact that you guys didn't even try to, because the mannequins had arms, right? But you guys, as opposed to just, like, standing up against it like this, you're hugging them.
We were holding on for dear life.
Right. No, I understand. So it's like they have these four-armed football players.
It's prom season. It's almost prom season too, so we want to hit the prom buzz.
Look at that. I mean, like, what's going on? Like, Lawrence is like, it's like literally no production value whatsoever.
Yeah. Why is the Kansas City Chief player wearing an Atlanta Braves hat?
Lawrence couldn't even be maybe you couldn't even bother to take off your hat.
Always the hat, baby. Always that. Maybe that Chiefs player was from Atlanta.
Look, maybe. And there's Denny.
I don't know why it's so sensual.
Denny's getting to second base with this guy.
He his too much.
Listen, I was really trying not to do it, but the footholds in the back are so small. You get one pinky toe on there, and you're just struggling.
Do
you think the footholds were so small as, and maybe that's a hint, that because they didn't want your asses on those things?
Sometimes you got to do what you got to do for the content, baby.
Boy. All right.
This is true. So we're going 4-wide. Denny Carter, Lawrence Jackson, me and Jake Crouch are here on the Happy Hour. And we want to, what do we want to do? We've got some BetMGM props.
We're doing a little segment. I know you like your constructs, Matthew. We're going to talk about what's more likely. Fresh off of Isaiah Likely's teammate. Yeah. Mark Andrews.
The definitive Mark Andrews interview, by the way.
Followed by the definitive Denny Carter and Lawrence Jackson interview. Definitive all around. So we'll start with you, Lawrence. So what's more likely, Chiefs win in a blowout or the Eagles win in a blowout? Now, on BetMGM, you can bet alternate spreads. So you can bet the Chiefs minus 10.5, which is plus 400, or you can bet the Eagles minus 10.5, which is plus 300. Which of those do you like, Lawrence?
Yeah, so look, even though, as y'all know, I like the Eagles to win.
Yeah, you've staked yourself on that.
But if we're talking about a blowout, I've seen the Chiefs blow out a team with a good defense this year, and that's the 49ers. So I would lean towards the Chiefs there.
All right, what do you got, Denny?
I'm going the opposite way. I think that if the Death Star Eagles can storm in here and get out to a big lead, I don't think there's any way that the Chiefs can, I don't, you know, with that pass-heavy offense, I don't think that they can keep pace with Jalen Hurts if that running game is going, if he's able to hit those downfield receivers. I think the Eagles are more likely to blow him out.
Okay. Patrick Mahomes can't keep up with Jalen Hurts. Questionable start from Denny Carter.
Very questionable start. By the way, you may not. We may have to take back this NBC Sports Edge quarter zip that you got. I was surprised you didn't wear the sweater. I thought you for sure would make an appearance on the show wearing the cardigan.
Is the issue. I didn't.
No. He wanted to wear a blazer, but he didn't want y'all talking about it. He put it back in the closet today. He was ready to throw on the blazer.
Casual as possible.
There wasn't even. Smart. I was hoping for the blazer at dinner last night. No, we all went out last night. Got some Cadillac margaritas. Me and Denny talked about the X-Files for about 3 hours. It was great.
I could talk more if you want to. If we want to do a podcast just on the X-Files, that's right.
We had a very fun team bonding dinner last night. The four of us and others here at NBC. I'm going to say the Chiefs in terms of who's more likely to blow out. That's a team that can score quickly, and so I can't see the Eagles blowing out. I'm sorry, I can't see the Eagles blowing out the Chiefs because even if they're up big, I just think that they'll be very pass heavy and trying to come back, and I can see the Chiefs backdoor covering. You know what I mean? Like in a scenario that way.
I think the other thing with this as well is that Jalen Hurts, there is a huge discrepancy between Jalen Hurts and how he plays with a lead versus playing from behind. And you know, we talked about this yesterday, but there is an element where Hurts, so much of his success has been playing with the lead, team stacking the box because the Eagles are so good running the ball, and then getting AJ Brown and Devontae Smith one-on-one, and Hurts has been so good at those deep balls to those guys one-on-one that I think that if it is a close game or if the Chiefs are playing with a lead, then there could be a crescendo effect where it gets a lot more difficult for Hurts. But let's talk about Super Bowl MVP, which is always one of the more fun bets around the Super Bowl. Lawrence, do you think it's more likely that an Eagles defensive player wins MVP or that a non-Mahomes Chief wins MVP?
Definitely an Eagles defensive player. Like, if the Chiefs are winning this game, they would have to force themselves not to give the MVP to Patrick Mahomes. We saw it a couple of years ago when Damian Williams should have been Super Bowl MVP, right?
Yeah. So Mahomes was terrible in that game. I mean, terrible, strong words, but like he made terrible.
He wasn't terrible. You said Matthew Stafford was terrible in last year's Super Bowl. Every quarterback who was ever on a Super Bowl made terrible.
Mahomes
Nick Foles, terrible.
Mahomes played poorly in that game based on his previous talent level.
Yes.
He underperformed, and Lawrence is right. Damian Williams should have been the tight end. It should have been the MVP in that game.
So they're going to give it. If the Chiefs win it, he could be 19 for 32 for 122 yards. Give it to him. But the Eagles, on the other hand, if they play games like how they've been playing in the playoffs, running the ball, pass rush, getting to the quarterback. Right. Yeah, I mean, we are Hassan Reddick right there. Yeah. You know, could be a DB somewhere here or there. You know, so I'll go with the Eagles defender.
I'm going that way too because there's no universe in which the Chiefs succeed offensively. If Kelce has a big game, 10 catches, 150 yards, 2 touchdowns, or Tony has a big game, or MVS or whatever, Mahomes also has a big game. You know, so none of those guys are going to win MVP over Mahomes, even Kelce. So if the Chiefs win, they're going to put up in that extremely pass-heavy offense. They're going to put up a lot of yards, probably a lot of touchdowns. That's Mahomes all the way. I'd have to go with an Eagles defender.
And you can certainly see a scenario in which, to just build on that, because I agree, Denny, that if the Eagles win, there's a scenario in which the Eagles win and that the defense just completely shuts down Mahomes and the offense, but that Hurts doesn't do a massive thing, you know, that the offense isn't that huge.
They're controlling
the ball. It's multiple guys, you know, like that with a, you know, Sanders, Gainwell, and Boston Scott. And, you know, so it's just that there's not one dominant offensive player, but whether Reddick has a couple of sacks and maybe a strip sack fumble that he returns for a touchdown, or Darius Slade does a pick six or something like that, like you could see that scenario.
I think Reddick is probably the one, because Reddick has 4 games this season where he has multiple sacks and a forced fumble in the same game, and he would have won MVP of the NFC title game, I think, with what he did and just how, and also with Hurts Hurts with his injury concerns, maybe he's not gobbling up as much of the MVP equity. Look, Travis Kelce's been a really popular bet for Super Bowl MVP. I think the fact that there's the brother narrative there that builds on that. But I think at 11-1, I think there's no value there, because what you have to remember is that if he goes for 150 yards and two touchdowns, Patrick Mahomes gets those stats as well. Yeah, right. And so his production is inextricably tied to Mahomes.
The way that Travis Kelce wins the MVP in the Super Bowl is this, and only this, is that on a Patrick Mahomes throws interception, Kelce chases down the guy that has the interception, punches the ball out from underneath,
scoops it up,
and runs into the end zone himself for a touchdown. Right. And so Mahomes gets none of those stats.
Yes.
In that scenario, then maybe Kelce wins the MVP.
Yes.
And the analytics say that's unlikely.
Analytics do say that is unlikely. Yeah. That's exactly. We have crunched the numbers back at NBC HQ.
We just got it. Right?
And that's,
Maybe Mahomes could commit a crime mid-game and be arrested.
That is
in that kind of range.
Well, an injury. Mahomes' injury in
Chad
game.
Henney comes in. Chad Henney and
I don't know. Henney might get that thing.
Henney did throw a touchdown pass to Travis Kelce.
That's right.
But yes, in a scenario in which Patrick Mahomes gets injured and the Chiefs win, Chad Henney's the MVP.
Yes.
Come on.
Kelce wins the MVP in that scenario.
Chad Henney comes in and leads them to victory? Are you crazy? Of course, it's Chad Henney.
Look, Julian Edelman got a Super Bowl MVP a couple of years ago in a low-scoring Super Bowl game. The thing is, we don't expect this one to be that way. So it could be that type of scenario, too.
Yep. No, I'm with you there. All right, Lawrence.
I suppose it depends on when Henney comes into the game.
Yeah, right.
Right, and what the score is. But if he comes in, if Mahomes gets injured in quarter one, and they're down 7-0 or something like that, and Henney leads them to victory.
Yeah.
Henney wins the MVP.
I have trouble saying
Henney, baby.
A bunch of dump-offs to Kelce, two touchdowns, a couple touchdowns. I think it's Kelce.
If Kelce ends up scoring that way.
All right, Lawrence, who's going to have the longest completion, Patrick Mahomes or Jalen Hurts?
I did not think I was getting into – by the way, just so you know, poor Pete, our producer Pete, is just like, wait a minute, are we literally arguing a Chad Henney MVP conversation right now?
We did 3 minutes on Chad Henney MVP. He's not going to take a snap.
Exactly. And by the way, and Steven's not producing today. Steven, our resident Jaguars fan, who actually loves Chad Henney.
Does. To a strange extent, actually.
Misses Chad Henney desperately in Jacksonville.
I grinded Chad Henney tape for hours before the show. I just want everyone to know.
It is true. You left last night early. We're like, where are you going?
I got to go watch the tape.
Got to grind some more Henney tape. Where's Denny going?
Grinding
it's so weird.
The Henney tape. All right, Lawrence, who has the longest completion, Mahomes or Hurts? They got the same odds.
I'm going to go with Jalen Hurts on this one. I think they'll take more deep shots. The Eagles' defense, so they won't allow Patrick Mahomes to do that. They'll make him chop them up in the middle of the field. We saw them try to complete those passes against the Niners in the NFC Championship games. You mentioned it earlier about him being successful on the deep ball versus man coverage. So give me Jalen Hurts right there at the same odds.
Yep. What do you got, Danny?
Mahomes. it's simply because I think the Chiefs are one of, three teams that pass no matter what. So if they get a lead, they pass. If they're behind, they pass. If it's neutral game script, they pass. I just think that there are so many scenarios where Mahomes can have a big game here.
I do too, but in terms of longest completion, I'm with Lawrence. My expectation here is that, especially with Darius Slay and James Bradbury, that they're going to say to the Chiefs, "You can dink and dunk us to death, but we're not going to let you uncork a 70-yard bomb on us." But I do think that you could see AJ Brown or Devontae Smith get loose for one.
Oh, yeah.
Deep and. That's the concern. It's like you think about the Chiefs. Okay, well, who could possibly have a 60-yard reception? The most likely guy on Kansas City is Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and he's going to see either Bradbury or Slay. I don't know. It feels like I agree 100% on the Chiefs' passing offense, but I do think Lawrence is right here in terms of I think the better bet is Jalen Hurts in terms of who has the longest completion.
Yep. Got a good little segment here of Denny Carter saying one thing and then the other three people saying the opposite thing.
Trying to cover all the bases. This is how you do it.
I skew Mahomes as well, keeping with the bit, just because I think he's going to have more pass attempts. And also, I think one thing with Hurts is that with his shoulder, he had no touch on those deep balls to Brown and Smith against the Niners. So he'll probably look better, but that is another thing to be concerned about.
No.
All right, let's go,
to me, the argument with Mahomes is, yes, is the passing volume and you're hoping for yards after the catch.
Yep.
That, like he gets like McKinnon or something like that, and that, you know, just up the right.
Yep.
Right.
Okay, Danny, let's go to you this time. Most receiving yards, you think it comes from the trio of Kelce, Brown, Smith, or someone else? You're taking the field in that.
I mean, look, anytime I can mention Quez Watkins on this show,
I'm going to
do it. Okay, so I am going to say Quez Watkins maybe gets loose for a deep ball from the slot. And can be one of the guys who wins outside of this trio. It is tough to not take this trio, though. I do think that the Eagles receivers will be game script dependent, if you understand. Like, the Eagles don't want to unleash against the Chiefs. I think they want to control the game. I think they want to make it kind of ugly. I mean, it was kind of ugly against the 49ers, honestly. It was lots of a very run-heavy game script, so I think that's what they want to do. I would take Quez Watkins at whatever crazy odds you can get here.
Look, Quez Watkins hasn't played at Quez Watkins.
tough show for Danny today.
I'm going to go with Kelce. You know, he's average. Kelce's, look, here's the thing on Kelce. He's averaged, you know, during this playoff run, right? And in fact, over his last 8 playoff games, he's averaging over 104 receiving yards. I do think that, especially given the fact that Juju may be less than 100%, that Hardman's not going to be out there, and how you attack Philadelphia, which is in the middle of the field. That we actually just had Mark Andrews on in the last segment who talked about the fact that he thinks that if they play zone, you know, obviously going to be Kelce. If they play man, Kelce's a really good man beater. I don't think he has anyone huge reception, but I think when we look up with it, you're going to be like, you know, 8 for 115. You know, that's going to be Kelce's line, something like that.
Sure.
It's going to be a lot of, you know.
Quez Watkins is plus 4,000. You can back that with me, Danny. Don't worry about
it. If it was the longest reception prop for Quez Watkins, sure. I'll do that. But not no receiving yards. Hell no. Nah.
Like,
I ain't going to get cute on this one. I'm going with the trio.
You guys, you doubt Quez Watkins at your own peril. That's all I'm saying.
Producer Blake Friedman, actually, on the pre-call this morning, actually had a good prop of Quez Watkins to get exactly 0 receptions, which is plus 300,
yes.
Which I prefer to. He had 0 last week, and only had one target.
Blake pointing out about the fact that since Goddard has been back, Watkins has been, you know, basically a special teamer.
Yes, exactly. Denny's Pan Quiz.
His one target was 60 yards downfield. I just want to put it out there.
That's true.
Those good old air yards.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to give out 2 longer shots on the board. And it's Kadarius Toney, who's plus 2,000, who is the most talented receiver on the Chiefs. Yeah. And he might just be fine. He might just show up and be fine. And then also Juju Smith-Schuster is plus 1,400, who I think there's a reasonable chance he's the most targeted Chiefs receiver. And again, like, you don't like counting on health when you're backing guys at minus 150, but when you're backing guys at plus 1,400, you got some health variance in your favor where he might just look okay.
And the slot is obviously where you attack Philadelphia again, right?
And they scheme so many targets to Kadarius Toney. Kadarius Toney's been targeted on 40% of his routes since week 17, which is just an insane number. And I know I've said that on Twitter, and people say, oh, well, they scheme touches. They have a game plan for him. Well, that's what you do with good players. That's what happens with talented players who can make a lot happen after the catch. I do like Toney there.
Okay, last one. Lawrence, rushing yards.
I mean, he's no Quez Watkins, but yeah.
Who is?
Right. You're Chad Henne, but
you've made your bed with Quez Watkins. Right. Lawrence, rushing yards leader for the game. Is it Miles Sanders, who's minus 105, or is it the field?
I'm going to go with the field just because how the odds play. You know, you got to – you saw Miles Sanders get the 2 touchdowns in the NFC Championship game, but Kenneth Gainwell is gaining on Miles Sanders.
Very good.
Boston Scott got in there a little bit. And if you look at it there, like Pacheco, he had a much bigger role in the AFC Championship. So just based on the odds, I'm going to just take the juice on this one.
Yeah, I completely agree on that. Like, I'd probably pick Pacheco at plus 275. You know, it feels like if you're asking me Sanders or the field, there's so many different ways that the Eagles can run the ball. Obviously, Gainwell, Scott, and, you know, Hurts, of course. And that assumes that they're able to run the ball and that they're not quickly down. Which, again, there's a scenario in which, I don't know how likely it is, but there's a scenario in which the Chiefs come out and they're up 17-0 immediately. Like, there's a turnover or something. You know, they score in their first possession, then there's a turnover, and all of a sudden, you know, now they're down and they're not going to be able to run the way they want to.
I would love Pacheco there, but I think the CEH being active kind of throws a wrench in that. I'm not saying that they're going to, you know, shift back to CEH. I don't think that that's likely. But to have to split the backfield with McKinnon, with CEH, I think Pacheco's ceiling is a lot lower than I thought it would be. And so I guess I go Sanders there.
We talked about this in the first segment as well. I mean, CEH, you know, the last two games he was active, he played 9 snaps total. I mean,
right.
You know, he just...
And obviously they don't like him. They don't want him to be anything close to the lead back.
And it's also, by the way, Pacheco was awesome last game. It'd be one thing if they squeaked by Cincinnati, but they got nothing out of the run game. But down the stretch, McKinnon and Pacheco have been awesome.
I feel like we've done this before, though, with the Chiefs back. We've anointed McKinnon, the guy. He's the guy. And then McKinnon became only a blocker for Mahomes, Pacheco took over. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think Pacheco plus 275, I think there's a little meat on the bone there in terms of value. I think also Kenneth Gainwell, to Lawrence's point, plus 1,400. Gainwell, his rushing prop right now in BetMGM is 19.5 rushing yards. He's had 26 carries the past two games. And obviously, those were very, very favorable in terms of game script, but he just looks explosive out there, and I think they're going to give him carries. So even if the 14-1 doesn't cash in terms of leading the entire game, I do think that he will get to 20 rushing yards.
I actually like, what's his rushing receiving number? I think it's 39.
We can have a look.
39.5.
Yeah, keep talking and we'll find out.
I just like, because there's different ways that they can use Kenneth Gainwell. They do run him, but they also like to use him in the passing game. I mean, Sanders is just not involved in the passing game at all. So
Gainwell's 11.5 receiving yards. So you add that up, it's going to be 30.5 rushing plus receiving.
I love the over on Gainwell, 30.5 rushing receiving.
He could probably get that just rushing.
Exactly. But they use him in a variety of ways. And so, again, especially if Chris Jones had, wrecked some havoc here. And so you could see some dump-offs to Gainwell.
Yep. No, I like that. We're a Kenneth Gainwell show. All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll hit some more news, talk Sean Payton and his orange tie, and then we'll close out with the best props from these guys, Lawrence Jackson and Denny Carter. All right, NBC Sports is at the Super Bowl live from Radio Row in Phoenix all week, live on Peacock. Start off with the Dan Patrick Show, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern each morning, followed by us, the Fantasy Football Happy Hour from 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern. PFT Live coming up right after this, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern, and then Brother from Another, Mariano Rivera closing act, 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern each day. All right, let's close out with a little bit of news. Start with Sean Payton, who the era in Denver has begun. He had the orange tie, which is going to become a part of Denver Broncos folklore.
It will be.
A little tell, which should have shifted the betting market. People weren't paying close enough attention. But he had some things to say about Russell Wilson yesterday and his coaching situation in terms of personal coaches.
Coach, Russell Wilson had a personal coach, Jake Heaps, in the building with access who wasn't on the staff.
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with that.
How do you feel about players having their own people off the staff in the building access to players?
Yeah, that's foreign to me. That's not going to take place here. I mean, I'm unfamiliar with it, but our staff will be here, our players will be here, and that'll be it.
So, Sean Payton would not like Tom Brady, I think is what he's saying. But Sean Payton has he's had the right attitude, which is like, listen, man, I'm new sheriff in town. Like, we tried it your way, Russ, last year, and you got a coach fired.
Yeah.
I ain't getting fired, so...
It ain't too aggressive either. It ain't like you just like you're nothing, you know what I'm saying? He just coming in, he planting his flag and letting them know, hey, I done did some things in this league, and this is how we going to do it.
Right. You're not a CEO. You're a quarterback. So yeah. Maybe you just join the team. Maybe.
Russell Wilson, not sure he's really in the same position of strength that he was potentially 12 months ago in terms of his reputation. I'm not sure Russell Wilson can be pulling Tom Brady stuff anymore, given that he was like the 24th best quarterback in the NFL this year or whatever.
It was painfully obvious that his teammates were not crazy about what he was doing, at least on the field. There was some alienation there. We all saw it, especially the Christmas Day massacre against the Rams and everything. But maybe Peyton first needs to bring him into the fold. I think that's a good first step.
Well, that's part. I mean, those have been all the rumors, is just how it how isolated he's been from the team, and you hear the stories about like he's doing calisthenics on the team plane and everyone else is trying to sleep and all that kind of stuff.
Lawrence actually did that on the flight from Newark to Phoenix.
Push-ups in the aisle on the plane.
Yeah,
I saw it.
But anyway, Russell Wilson, tweeted Coach Payton, and so we'll see. I think we as a we'll get your takes on it, because Jay and I both said that we're buying a Russell Wilson bounce back for next year under Sean Payton. Lawrence and Denny, where are you guys in this?
I'm going to have a piece on NBC Sports Edge today, kind of breaking down the numbers of what needs to happen for Russell Wilson. One thing is play action, you know, because they did not use play action all that much, especially when they fell behind this season. Talking about Nathaniel Hackett's staff. Sean Payton does have a history with using play action successfully. I think if they can get, you know, more involved in kind of misdirection and keeping defenses on their toes, I think that'd be great for Russell Wilson. I'm buying a bounce back for sure.
Yeah, I'm gonna say he go up this year, next season too, because first off, there's nowhere to go but up.
That's
from that situation. Sure. Like, will he get back to top five quarterback status? I don't know about all that, but when we talking about from a fantasy perspective, he definitely could get back to hovering around that quarterback one range with Sean Payton, because Sean Payton's offenses always do numbers. Team, don't matter what the team do, his offenses do numbers.
Yep. All right, last news item for today, A.J. Green.
No, that would be a big story.
If A.J. Brown retired, that would shift the line. A.J. Green retires. Nice little last moment for A.J. Green, catching that ridiculous touchdown pass against San Francisco in Week 18. But one of the best wide receivers of his generation, Matthew.
Yeah, I mean, look, fantasy royalty right there. Over his career, he had three different top 10 finishes as a fantasy wide receiver. From 2011 to 2017, he was the fourth best wide receiver in terms of total fantasy points. Over that stretch, the only wide receivers with more fantasy points, Antonio Brown, the late, great Demaryius Thomas, and Julio Jones. And so, you know, A.J. Green was so great. You know, you sort of feel bad for him as you see the stats there on your screen in terms of the five straight 1,000-yard seasons to start, seven-time Pro Bowler, you know, and, you know, being second all-time in Bengals history in terms of receptions, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns there. To me, the disappointing thing is like, he was on those Bengals team that were never, they were always, like, okay. The Andy Dalton, the Marvin Lewis, losing the first round of the playoff teams, he leaves. They get Joe Burrow, and they're awesome.
Yes. It's tragic the way that they underperformed with A.J. Green dominating. I mean, A.J. Green and Julio Jones were dominant almost to the same level to a point now, and then there was a big fall off. But these big body receivers, they age so poorly, you know?
Yeah.
And I think A.J. Green is an example of that.
Yeah. When you said age so poorly, why did you look directly at me? What the hell?
With no blinking.
Like, no blinking. Like, right into my eyes.
Right,
not to the
me.
Camera, not to all the group of us. Like,
you know
he
why?
Does blah, blah, blah. And big body receivers, you're age so poorly.
You're a big body receiver, that's why. I was looking at you.
Big body receiver.
Yeah, I'm big bodied. I need some of that
shakes.
Protein shake.
Yeah, they're already kicking in. All right, let's close out, guys, kind of. Lawrence, last angle for the Super Bowl, anything in particular, any bet, anything that you're looking forward to?
I mean, just talking about it earlier, man, mentioned Hassan Reddick earlier, man, at plus 3,000, if you're looking for the value there, like, here's a guy who had two sacks in four of his last six games, 19.5 total sacks on the season, right? So, like I said, if the Eagles play ball like they have been the past two games, then fire him up at plus 3,000 for the value there.
Okay, what
Big
do you got,
juice.
Denny?
I'll just take Mahomes MVP. You know, look, this is pure vibes-based. I'm a numbers guy. I usually have a bunch of numbers, and I would read them to you. But I don't believe that Mahomes will allow the Chiefs to lose this game. I think he will come through and play an incredible game against a vulnerable, I think, Eagles secondary.
We talked about this yesterday. If you believe the Chiefs are going to win, betting Patrick Mahomes to win MVP are better odds than just betting the Chiefs' money line.
Yep, Mahomes is plus 135. The Chiefs' money line is plus 105. I think Mahomes is a 90 to 95% chance to win. So
if the Chiefs win,
So I think Mahomes is the play. All right, we are done. PFT Live is next. Garrett Wilson on the show.
Yeah, thank you, Mark Andrews. Thank you, Denny Carter. Thank you, Lawrence Jackson. For Jay Croucher, I'm Matthew Berry. We will see you tomorrow. Peace out.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.